morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you, my friend. Oh, it's a beautiful day. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You listen to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use. What a wonderful day it is indeed. And I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to remind you, follow us on Facebook, KSLM Radio, and we are streaming live, KSLM.news. We have friends tuning in from all over the country, and I want to do a special shout-out to my friend, Ted Schoaf. It's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Ted. Thankful that you are in our lives, and I hope it's a splendid day for you. And I want to remind you, friends, if you know someone having a birthday coming up, we'd love to give a shout-out to them. Please let me know by sending me an email, stacy@KSLM.news. And there is some news in the headlines. Of course, a lot of people a little upset and concerned about the fact that we have a legislative session going on right here in Salem, right in our backyard. The Capitol is here, as you know, and the process is not allowing people to really take part. The Capitol is the people's capital, right? We are elected. We should be electing people that represent us. And yet it seems like so much of the process is even complete before the actual voting takes place. It sounds like it's prescribed. There's already determination of what's going to happen and how it's going to take place, because here in our state, we have a supermajority. In fact, we've had leadership in the state for 30 years that have been Democrat. Many Democrats have been in positions of power and leadership in our state and a lot of our local offices as well. And yet there seems to be so much unrest about where our state, our counties, our councils, our nation, where we're at. There's unrest, right? Well, who's been making these decisions for all of these years? Who have we been electing? And why aren't we holding their feet to the fire and accountable, right? And so when we're trying to do so, it's very hard to do because they're in a sense, locking us out. If they can go into the Capitol and have meetings and have masks and social distancing, why can't the constituents have access and be able to do the same? And there's a powerful picture that I saw yesterday, a lady by the name of Reza. And there's a picture of her standing at the Capitol door. You might have saw it. Maybe you saw this on social media. I think I'll put it on our Facebook page. But it says the doors to the Capitol were locked, the building that was erected to bridge the gap between the legislature and their constituents, yet the constituents were not allowed in. They didn't want us in the building, but we made sure our voices were heard anyways. Let us in. We know whose taxes that pay for these buildings and their upkeep. Those that were allowed inside work on our benefit and are supposed to speak for us, yet we were not allowed in. Our governor continues to prove to the public that she doesn't care for us or our opinion. Why hold a special session during a dangerous pandemic? Why would you mandate masks when they do not work against the virus? If they worked, you would let us into the Capitol if we wore them, would you? If they don't work, why mandate them? It's a powerful, powerful illustration of a citizen taking action in this picture of her hand on the door, like being locked out, is very powerful. And again, as we're talking to our friends, our coworkers, you know, put the question out there. Are you content? Is your life better now under these years here in Oregon of Democrats being in charge? Is your life better? Are you ready for some change? Well, how about we vote in some new people? In fact, when I listened to the Trump rally over the weekend, one of the lines that really stuck out to me is vote red. Vote red this election. And of course, we know red symbolizes the Republicans. But even more than that, it says red represents remove or replace every Democrat. That's food for thought, right? But if you've known me over time, if you've known my history, I've been very, very good at being a bipartisan person. I have several friends that are Democrat, several friends that are pro-life Democrats, in fact, conservative Democrats even. And yet I challenge them, why do you continue there? Why do you stay aligned with a party that is moving farther and farther from your conservative and your pro-life values. And many of them believe that they can make changes within their party, and I applaud them for that. But for me, I like to vote for those individuals who line up with my personal values. And I think it's important that you and I really get an understanding. In fact, tomorrow we're going to have Terry in, my beloved. He's going to come in tomorrow. We're going to talk about Constitution and our rights, and we're going to dig into some stuff like that. I think it's really important that we do our homework, that we do our part in knowing why we believe what we believe, for one, and two, what are we going to do about it? And it's easy to sit back and complain and write, you know, on Facebook and challenge people on their thoughts and ideas on Facebook, but what are we really going to do about it? Because we know we're not going to change them by, you know, questioning them on Facebook, right? What we can do about it is making sure that we get people around us registered to vote, and then we help them get the information they need to make the best decisions. And for me, because I've been privileged here and honored to be in front of this microphone and work with you, and thank you for listening every day, I have the opportunity to bring people in here that help us, educate us, empower us, engage us in the process. And today I'm so excited. This individual that I have in the studio to bring encouragement, and I'm telling you, it brings hope to see people who are stepping up. It's not an easy time to want to be elected leader locally or nationally. It's not an easy time. And I think people that are stepping up, man, they've got grit. They've got courage, and I know they have a call upon their life, and that's the case with this individual. And in the short time that I've had opportunity to get to know her, you can't help but like her. She is educated. She is positive. She is a mover and shaker. She's a woman who gets things done. She's a former Kaiser City Councilor. Amy Ryan Cursor understands the importance of listening to constituents while being a voice of representation. Her priorities have been economic development, infrastructure, and public safety without increasing taxes. And she is here, and she is game on this morning. Amy, thank you for joining me this morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So good to see the victory on the primary night. And I think I might even text you that. Okay, let's get going. Let's get going. The race is on. Yep. And so excited to see the momentum and keeping the momentum going, even in these challenging times. Talk to me about that primary night and when the results were in and what was going on with you at that time.
Well, thank you. That's a great question. It was exciting for sure. No matter what the outcome, when you know, because you don't know the outcome, mm-hmm. and you know, you give 100+% and my goal at the end of the primary was to say I did everything I could and shook as many hands as I could. And you know, the pandemic was a crisis for us as a campaign, for every campaign. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people thought that would slow us down. It actually was able to help us be creative and adapt and get new ideas to get in front of people. So I think we did an excellent job of reaching the people that we could. I think I'll look forward to doing a better job in the general, because I'm hoping that, you know, restrictions will lift and we're going to have more opportunity. But as far as a primary goes, wow. I had a few friends and family over, not a big crowd. Like, we were hoping for a big celebration of, you know, really just a celebration of the campaign, no matter what the outcome was. Trying to watch the numbers come in when you have a large area, because remember, the Secretary of State counts every county.
Right.
So you're kind of keeping an eye on counties, but you can't put too much emphasis into celebrating one county because you don't know what the other county will
exactly.
do. So, and we really approached it with a humble heart, and we felt like we did a good job. And I've always felt from the beginning that if it was God's plan, it would, you know, it would unfold correctly. And I'll tell you, the way I found out was my phone blew up all at once.
Mm.
So, like, they must have announced somewhere that I didn't see, because mm-hmm. we were watching, you know, news and things like that. And so as soon as my phone just completely
yes.
It was exciting, and it was humbling, and it was, I'm so thankful. I even get a little emotional now, but mm-hmm. to be honest, it's just because the power of the people voting and using their voice is so important. And so I felt privileged and honored to be that representative and move forward to the general and to hopefully do a great job representing the people who believe in me. So.
Well, and I think it's good to know the 5th District, let's review that.
Yes.
Again, I'm a new Oregonian, back to Oregon after all mm-hmm. these years, so I'm learning all of these districts. So the 5th District, how does that visualize that through through words? How can we?
It's almost like a T. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of central here in Salem, right? Mm-hmm. So it goes all the way up to Clackamas, like the majority of Clackamas, Milwaukee mm-hmm. area, mm-hmm. Happy Valley, Oregon City. And then it kind of comes down in a little curve around up to Detroit Lake. Mm-hmm. And then it really follows the county lines, really. We have seven counties, and then it comes down around to North Albany.
Okay.
And then over to Yahats on mm-hmm. the coast, and then straight up to Cannon Beach, just below Cannon Beach, and
wow.
then back over. So it's a lot of timber industry, a lot of agriculture. And then, of course, Clackamas is more of a, you know, more of a bustling, you
mm-hmm.
know,
what they call it, a metro,
sure,
right? Yeah,
sure,
that kind
yeah.
of thing. So,
so
you have a diversity.
It's very diverse.
Yeah. yeah. And so it's a fifth district, and you're challenging an incumbent.
Yeah.
And there is so much need for someone who will represent the people. And even this story that I talked about, this has to do with the state capitol mm-hmm. and our representatives here. You're going to Congress, the fifth district. But there is such a need to be continually aware and present for your constituents. And what I see happening is oftentimes people get elected and they get to D.C. And of course, D.C. is a ways from Oregon, first
mm-hmm.
of all. So
sure.
it's a little bit more of a challenge than it was for my friends that were representing in South Dakota to get back and forth. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's a longer flight and all of that, but it's so important and so key to stay connected. When you're elected, what's your plan to stay connected to constituents and be available and accessible?
Well, that's a great point, because I think we've had a failure in that in Oregon
mm-hmm. I do too.
On multiple levels. But I think for myself, I am a connected relationship oriented person. And so that's not hard for me to do. I don't see that as my challenge. It is, you are thinly spread. Like you said, you're, you know, you're representing everyone in DC and you're there a majority of the time. And then it's equally important to be here. So we'll have representation here. We'll have an office. I'll have staff locally that will help communicate and help me keep abreast of what's going on mm-hmm. in all of our areas, because the one thing I'm hearing the most from our constituents across the district is they're not feeling heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's been prevalent in all of the actions that I'm seeing and continue to hear from people. So we need to keep connecting, we do a great job of email and listening and phone calls. And, you know, I'm very transparent. You, even whether agree or disagree, you always know where I stand. And so I think one of the things that was important to me as a city councilor mm-hmm. is I did a good job of communicating and letting people know what the issues were,
mm-hmm.
what was on the agenda, how it affected the area and who it affected. And I will continue to lead with that representation of communication of what's happening and who needs to be involved, because people need to come to the table and support the issues.
That's so good to hear, because what I hear and what I know to be true is that issue right then and that then and of itself is the most important. Will she communicate? Will her staff communicate? Will she make me a priority?
That's right.
Because right now there's a whole lot of Oregonians right now that are feeling left out of the process.
That's right.
This unemployment debacle, a lot of people are feeling, yeah, she cares. The governor we're talking now wants us to wear a mask, and yet we can't even get unemployment and feed ourselves, you know,
right.
and things like that. So there's a lot of people feeling stirred up and they're ready to do something.
People are fired up.
Oh, we're ready to make some changes.
Yep.
So glad to have you here. We're going to continue the conversation after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Thursday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good
Good morning. Are you on that second cup of coffee this morning? I am. It's a good morning indeed. It's going to be in the 80s today, my friend. Yes, about 85 degrees currently. It's 56. It's nice to have that sunshine and warmer weather, and certainly all the flowers in bloom. And some of you are struggling with allergies. I know I've heard from friends. It's like, oh, all the pollen in the air. But that's just a part of it, right? As we continue on in summer, I love the fact here in Oregon, it stays lighter later. The challenge for me has been, and Amy, I know know you're burning the candle right now at both ends, but for me, you know, I'm up early, like at 4:30-ish or so in the morning to prepare for the show. And so about 8 o'clock at night, I'm wanting to go to bed and it's still light and my body's like, no, there's still work to be done, you know. As you go on the campaign, and for friends that just are tuning in, I have Amy Ryan Kerser on with me today. She's my co-host, and we are talking about her running for the 5th District, the U.S. Representative in Congress, kind of a big calling. And she made it through the primary. She had how many people were in the race?
Four altogether,
three other people, and she was the winner out of the primary, Republican primary, so now she'll go to the general election November 3rd. Weeks away, really, it's not that far away, right around the corner. And so I've asked her to share with us a little bit of kind of the things that she's campaigning on and what sets her different from her opponent. And here's the thing we had just discussed right before during this break, is that it's ever changing because of COVID. Everything's changing. So what you would traditionally, you know, your fiscal things and your defense things, a lot of the talking points for Congress, typically it's all shifted all around. And so you have to be fluid. You have to be relevant, right, Amy? And so talk to me a little bit about the things you're hearing from constituents and what sets you apart from your opponent.
Sure. Thanks for the question. So, you know, we have talked a lot about adapting as a campaign, but as a candidate, you know, I'll just say me. I know a lot of candidates. Everyone has something what they're fired up about, or what they're excited about, or what's really important to them. And so there's several things. I have a long list of when I decided to run. I mean, you know what? Those things have also adapted and continue to change. So, you know, right now, more than ever, we need to restore our public safety and our security. I don't think anyone should feel in fear for any reason. And so that's really important to me. And now boy, we wouldn't have imagined where we would be 6 months ago as where we sit today. And restoring economic sanity and economic for our businesses, especially our small businesses, which are the backbone of our nation. And so those things have come to the surface. Whereas, you know, 3 months ago, I might have said, gosh, you know, I'm really concerned about forestry management for the summer, things like that. Those things are still relevant and important, but they can't happen until we restore our fiscal responsibility and our safety, public safety.
So. Well, and we certainly can't keep throwing money at stuff and trying to make it work or keep printing money. And I know our deficit is huge.
Right.
And the fact that there needs to be a balanced budget. But right now, because we're in crisis mode and we're trying to keep businesses afloat, there have been these loans and these fiscal decisions, you know, of not really a bailout, but a Band-Aid in a sense, to help people in their livelihoods.
Right.
Now the stimulus is long gone.
Right.
A lot of families, but I did find a family yesterday, they still have not gotten, and they've got like four or five kids.
That's right.
So there's still stimulus that haven't even reached families yet. So there's still some needs out there. What are your thoughts on that?
That's right. I think we could have done a better job as far as the federal government goes of how we distributed and what our requirements were and getting the money out in a more responsible way. I think we could have done better for sure. I personally also know families who are struggling, especially young families who, you know, there's so many reasons for that, but then I know businesses just equally that are struggling because I feel the government failed in the way we handled our disbursements and the amounts that we gave. If it makes more sense for people to stay home financially, how do we get them back to work? How do we? And then of course remember our companies and our organizations, their all of their loan requirements are required on how many staff and things like that. So they're really struggling, and I have several friends who have closed their doors and won't be reopening, and that was their blood and heart and soul, and to see that it's detrimental to our communities. It's hurtful to the businesses themselves. It's hurtful to it's hurtful to everyone. And so to see this unfold the way it has, I think we could do a better job. I'm hearing, you know, more talk on more stimulus coming after July. I know our governor wants a bailout federally. And I'll be honest, I mean, we have to do a better job of handling what we've been given. And I don't think we've done that very well on a state level. I think you'll see that it's a lot to do with being a sanctuary status. As you get to know me, I'm a little tougher on those issues. I think if you're a sanctuary state, I don't think you qualify for federal funding, and that's going to hurt everyone.
Right.
So we have got to get leadership in who are willing to hold people accountable, willing to put the people first, willing to get the jobs back going and the economy and support our local businesses, and who aren't going to tolerate the nonsense and the divisiveness, because unfortunately there's a lot of hate and anger, and the media is not our friend right now.
It's a distraction. It's noise and it's chaos, and it makes me suspect of what's really going on in D.C. during this time, right?
Well, I can tell you not much. Yeah, let's just start with that. I mean, we're paying our congressmen with our taxpayer dollars. They're not showing up. They're not I think Congress is a 37%, approval rating. That is horrible. Mm-hmm. So why do we not have people in there, that we can get the job done? And that's what we need to do, is say this is enough, status quo is done, and it's time to get people in who are going to take action and make things happen and fight for the people of their state.
Mm-hmm. And where do you stand on term limits? I mean, there's different people that say, term limits for Congress and senators is important so that we get new people in with new ideas, those kinds of things. What are your thoughts on that?
I like term limits. No one's irreplaceable, and we should do a better job of formulating, I would love to create an organization locally that supports local candidates, that helps people that want to inspire and aspire to do great things for our state, because everybody's replaceable, right?
Yes.
So let's do a better job of training and helping people get into those positions so that it's not hard. And because politics is ugly, who wants to throw themselves under the bus, Mm-hmm. So let's do a better job of supporting those candidates. But I do believe in term limits, but I do believe we have a Congress that is extremely saturated and deeply embedded in years and years of service. Mm-hmm. And so I would like to say thank you for your service. It's time to go, go do your own whatever that is.
Have a promotion party, right?
Yep, it's time to go. Mm-hmm. And because we have too many career politicians, and what that happens is that we get into the deep money and all of the beholding, and it's just not, that's what's failing our country. And they're just not doing their jobs.
And we can make a difference this November by voting for change, change, people that represent us. So excited to have Amy Ryan Kercer in the studio with us today talking about her campaign for the 5th District. We'll be back after this and we'll continue the conversation. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning to you. A little Mandisa to get your day started. Oh, it's fun when I go places. It's fun. People start singing this song when they see me, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing to say good morning and have a little sunshine in people's lives, right? I'm so glad to be here. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and I want to remind you, if you're out working in your yard, got all the flower beds all the way you want them, and you're thinking, what am I going to do with this extra stuff that I'm not using anymore? Well, I've got a place for you. Clayton Ward Recycling is accepting that concrete, wood, yard debris, dirt, and gravel. They also are taking cardboard, newspaper, and office paper, so you could drop it off. There may be some charges, but many items have no charge at all. There's no waiting, easy unloading, fast and friendly service. Family owned and operated for 50 years. Clayton Ward Recycling off Mainline Drive in Kaiser. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, 7 to 3 on Saturday. Give them a call, 503-393-8700. And in the studio with me today, I am hanging out with congressional candidate for the 5th District, Amy Ryan Kercer, and she is on the Republican ticket. She got out of the primary, but we were just talking right now, when you're elected, whatever position it is, city council, school board, commission, state representative or senator, all the way up to Congress. When you're elected, you may have an R or D or an independent behind your name, whatever it is. But when you're elected, you're representing the people. And you're representing everybody. And you need to be accessible to them and you need to listen. And what I love about what you're sharing with me, Amy, is that that's really important to you. You may have some disagreements or not exactly line up with how they're thinking, but you want to hear them. You want to hear their ideas. You're open to that. You're not like preset. And what I found in my experience anybody that was opposite of me in their political thinking, they're not even open. They're closed. I'm like, hey, can we even have a discussion about this? Right. I want to learn why you think the way you do. And they're like, nope, you're not going to change my mind. I'm like, I'm not trying to change your mind. I just want to hear why you think. Right. I love that you're open to listen to people.
That's right. It's one of my favorite things. It's always been my makeup of who I am is I'm a people person. I always love talking to people and hearing why they feel the way they do, because what's interesting to me is that everyone has a story and they have a reason why they believe and feel the way they do. And so it's not so much, okay, the bottom line, oh, this is my stance. It's how did you get there? Mm-hmm. Tell me how you came to that conclusion. And I love the discussion. Mm-hmm. And then when I talk about my heart, the one that comes to mind mostly is being a pro-life candidate. You know, you're under a lot of scrutiny for that. And I have a great story. And because I'm in a woman who's evolved over the years into the woman I am today. And I don't have a hard line on that. I have a very soft heart on that. And I love to tell my story and I love to hear their story. And when you start exchanging based on a compassion level and a heart level, it changes the dynamics and the solutions and where you end up. It's not just about I'm right, you're right. It really takes all of that away. And so I love that.
Yes. And the humanity part of it.
That's right.
The human experience. And that's the tough part right now, the season of COVID-19, where we've dehumanized everybody, put them behind a mask, make it kind of sterile and cold.
That's right.
The humanity side of it. In fact, I noted in some pictures, some of the Republicans here in the building that are meeting right now, it's interesting. They're wearing face shields, so you can still see their face, not mask where it's hidden.
That's right.
And I think there's power in that. Being able to, you and I looking at each other, we have the social distance thing going on, but watching our expressions, watching our face, and all of that, it's a part of the human experience. And
that's
when
right.
you can meet one-on-one, that's important. And so I want to talk a little bit and transition about building your campaign, building your team, your frontline workers, to make this happen.
That's right.
It's not going to happen on its own. It's going to take a lot of sweat and grit to get this done between now and November. And as you shared earlier, you've got big, but 7 counties, you said, all the way from, how do you say that? Yahats?
Uh-huh.
Yahats.
Yahats. On the coast.
I just learned about that community. Beautiful community.
It is.
All the way up to Cannon Beach.
That's right.
Over to Clackamas County. Over to Detroit Lake.
That's right.
Albany.
Right.
You know, that's a huge area. So I want to challenge our listeners. Amy, I'm going to challenge them. If you know people in all of these different areas that I've just mentioned or even in between, let Amy know. This is time for friend raising, and friend raising is a great opportunity to not only build awareness, if you have something that Amy can come and talk to your people, if you're willing to friend raise and open up your backyard and have a barbecue and have Amy come and talk to your friends and neighbors and maybe people you go to church with,
so
because that personal connection is so very important. And along with that, the fundraising aspect. Talk to me a little bit about fundraising and how critical that is to win.
Well, that's probably the number one challenge to any campaign. But I want to just briefly mention on something you mentioned, and you and I actually didn't talk about this. So the fact that you brought it up, I think, is divine intervention.
No. Yay!
Is that the right word?
Yes.
No, I think it's. I talk about this a lot. If you've ever heard me talk. Our issues right now, they're not about the partisan issues. They are humanitarian issues. And that needs a leader that will serve everyone because it's a humanitarian issue. And it was, of course, more prevalent with the homeless and things like that. Now it's public safety and people being heard. And I think the biggest issues we have truly are humanitarian, and those deserve better representation than a letter of being told how to live your life behind your name. So I am focused on that, because this is about everyone and everyone finding solutions through listening. So thank you for mentioning that. I think it's really important. So I don't want to get that forgotten. But fundraising, yeah, we could probably do a whole show on that, but it's one of the hardest things to do, especially now in our challenging financial times. But it's one of the most important. So for my race, I'm against an incumbent who's deeply entrenched, very heavily financed. He's financed with everything I'm opposed to. I think he gets most of his money from pharmaceutical, Planned Parenthood, and some of the deep unions. And that's how he votes. He votes in line with Pelosi and with Kate Brown and failed leadership, really, at the bottom heart of it. And so that, to me, says, hey, we've got to support this candidate. If anything I say resonates with someone, I ask them not only to share it on social media, but, hey, you know, $10-$20 goes a long way. $100, mm-hmm. we're limited on our – as a federal candidate, we have a lot of different limitations.
Right.
There is a tax credit available for people who want to donate, and I think people don't forget that as well.
Oh, I didn't realize
yep,
that.
Yep, there's $100. We received that $100, $50 per person or $100 for a couple mm-hmm. Tax credit that you receive for donating. And so, you know, it's going to take the masses of lots of small amounts to make this happen. I'll be honest, I've said this from the beginning, I'm not going to raise $3 to $5 million like my opponent. They have a fundraising machine. The Democrats are very organized and have fundraising machines. So if you believe in the conservative and, you know, the values that we all seem to share that are like-minded, I need the support and I need the help and I need the volunteers. I appreciate people's time equally to their financial. So
anytime you
it.
Can get someone's time, treasure, and talent, that's
right.
very important. And I want to remind folks, you can join the conversation today, 503-589-1220. I have someone on the line. I think you know this person. Good morning. Who's joining us this morning?
It's Baron Robinson.
Hello, Baron. Our kicking cancer guy. How are you today?
Yeah. I'm good. It's good to hear Amy on the radio.
Oh, thanks, Baron.
Yes, thank you for joining the conversation. And I know that you you have some ideas on what people can do to get involved with Amy's race, don't you?
Well, I think the key that all voters have to do is actually look at the candidates. And I made that statement all the way through the primary that, you know, there were four candidates running a Republican ticket. And find what's important to you, and does that candidate align with what you want? We at Kicking Cancer truly appreciate Amy and her desire to get pharmaceutical costs under control. And I was listening just a few minutes ago when she said that the person she's running against is funded by Big Pharma. So if he's funded by Big Pharma, how are we ever going to get this under control? You got to find out what your candidate believes in and then help however you can.
I agree. And I think it's important, don't you, Baron, that you look at what your values are and then evaluate the candidates based on your values. We already know Amy's for life. She's going to listen to us. She's going to show up and be there for us. What else would you just say to our listeners, Baron?
I have had the privilege of meeting three of the four candidates that ran in the primary. In my opinion, Amy is the most personable out there, and I just love the fact that she has turned her truck into her mobile campaign headquarters. And she drops the tailgate of her truck, and she sits there and has a conversation. And I know that because I did that with her in front of the Starbucks there at Kaiser Station.
Yep. Awesome. That's awesome. And so just like Baron, then you need others like Baron who'd be willing to be a champion out on the front lines and connecting you to people that they know in their organizations so that they know you personally as well. And
that's
it's hard
right.
for you to be in all those places.
That's
but
right.
when you have volunteers on mission with you, you
right.
can be in several places and delegate that work, right,
sure.
on the front lines. Do you have some things coming up, some speaking engagements? How can people stay in tune and what's going on with you?
Sure. Well, there's always social media, and I always put out invites and let people know where we're going to be. I love the tailgate thing that we're doing. We're doing pop-up campaigning
mm-hmm.
to adapt, and we, so like Baron said, which we had so much fun, and we sit on the back of the tailgate and have coffee, and we social distance so that everyone feels comfortable and we're being respectful of the process, and we have a great conversation, and whether it's just one-on-one or, you know, I've had groups of, you know, several. I have pulled up into different businesses we're doing, like I said, the pop-ups and local businesses in the district, and then we're inviting people to come down and meet the candidate. It's just that simple. And so, but we love to do the conversations like the friend conversation you mentioned, where people can host a small gathering and mm-hmm. we can come have a, you know, a cup of coffee or whatever works for them. And So it's really all about just being being able to be freely with, you know, free with the ideas and the
answer the questions.
That's
and
right.
engaging them and empowering
right.
them to make a difference in their communities.
That's
right.
That's right.
Your website is amyfororgan.com. Amyfororegon.com. We're going to continue the conversation after this break. We'll be back. Good morning to you. 7:50 in the morning already on this delightful Thursday. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Here to bring you encouragement, education, and empower you with news that you can use to get us active in our day-to-day lives, making a difference in our community. And in the studio with me, I have Ryan Cursor, and she is running for the 5th District U.S. Representative in Congress. And Amy believes Oregonians deserve better. Oregon's leadership has failed for far too long. It's time for new conservative leadership, and it's time, and I love this line, to make Oregon great again. Amy, you really believe that, and you live that out day in and day out. You've been active in the community. You've been a business leader. You know Oregon. You're passionate about Oregon, and it's time for some change in Oregon. Our current leader that's elected, incumbent, has been there. He's entrenched, I would say. He's certainly supported by the pro-abortion. Everything that doesn't line up with my personal values, and I know so many others, and I think people believe their vote doesn't count. And I've heard this, and it just was very frustrating to me. Why vote? Why does it matter? Mm-hmm. It matters. Mm-hmm. And we go back to the fact that our Governor Brown, who now is making all these mandates and dictating our lives every single day, what we can and cannot do.
That's right.
She got in by 7 votes the very first time she was elected. 7
That's right.
votes. And
right.
that was the power grab all needed in this progression to where she was appointed governor and then reelected
right.
as governor. And so
right.
it's very, very important that we stay engaged, we get involved. And on the phone right now, we have another caller calling in. Who's with us today?
Oh, this is Art.
Hello, Mr. Art. Thank you for joining in on the conversation. What questions or comments do you have for Amy today?
Well, Amy, yeah, good luck. Support you 100%. Voted for you in the primary. Definitely going to vote for you because obviously Mr. Schrader, as you know, has not represented us very well. And are you working on scheduling debates? Because I think you could really, do a great job at pointing out the faults of our current representative. There is no doubt about that. Him and their party fueling this racism stuff, allowing, the situation with the police and all that, the narrative just stinks in the Democratic Party. And so are you scheduling any debates? And are you going to be really aggressive on pointing out the faults of the Democratic Party and Kurt, especially how he's really not represented as well?
Great questions, Art. Hello. So first of all, those debates don't come from, say, myself or Kurt. They come from people who organize them. And I can tell you I'm fully prepared, and I have a great, great list of things that need to be addressed. And I would welcome the opportunity to debate Mr. Schrader. And I'm past prepared, actually. I'm frustrated and I'm passionate. And so I would imagine he's not real excited to have a debate with me. So, but I'm ready. And so those hopefully will be organized. I've heard some conversations as things move forward, things like some of the media chambers, things like that. So we're just waiting to hear. I haven't thought of hosting a debate, but I'm absolutely think that might be a good idea to look into. So thank you for the suggestion. As far as calling out some of the weaknesses of the Democratic Party. Let me tell you, even through the primary, I showed this as a candidate, and even in my previous race, I'm a candidate who is very strong at looking at the opportunities for strengths and what we need to do differently and finding solutions. I think doing a lot of mudslinging or, you know, attacking isn't going to be the way that we rise and present ourselves in strength and unity. So what I can tell you, though, in the same breath, is that I'm prepared with the facts and the voting record and how we have, I believe we've been abandoned by current leadership, and especially Kurt. And this has come up, and I could talk more about this in a future, but, you know, Kurt recently signed a proxy letter that he would be a proxy voter, and he's given his way, his voting power, to a representative in Arizona. That person now votes on our behalf when Kurt doesn't feel the need to show up due to health conditions. So that's very concerning to me. It's one of the biggest things that I think is an issue, but I have a long list of how we've been abandoned and how we can do better, and Oregon deserves better. So I'm going to stay focused on the issues and stay focused on the solutions, and I am unafraid to call things as I see them and show the facts, and I think that will be very important.
Well, and here again is an opportunity for our listeners. Art, don't you agree that we could call on the media and the chambers and the people that typically host these things and say, listen, with COVID especially, media in Portland, we want to see some debates. You owe this to us. We need some debates. We need to see our candidates because we are not able to get to them as easily with COVID. So we could put some pressure on the media, don't you think, Art?
Oh, absolutely. And Amy, I also would encourage you to try to get on some national talk shows. I think it's great that you're talking to Stacy, but there's some national talk shows, and I think you're very articulate and would do a great job. And it also might help you raise some extra funds by that exposure. I do know, I listen to a lot of talk shows, and I do know when people get on those talk shows, they do raise money, not only, you know, locally, but nationally. And there's a lot of passionate people out there that want to make some positive changes in the House, because the House has just not represented the American people. And of course, we know why, because the Democrats are in control.
Right, that's right. And you know what I'd like to add to that is I think what will help emphasize your point, and I can tell you, getting on those national talk shows, unless you're a war hero like my friend Alex Garlotos, they love him. It's difficult to do because there are so many congressional races. But what I will tell you that I think is a point of emphasis to make that happen, Art, is that our race in CD5 is one of eight in the entire nation that has a Cook's point value that's even, which means this seat is winnable and it's flippable. And I will stress this over and over and over. This seat, we can win the seat, but it's not going to be easy, obviously, because it's an incumbent. But it's really important to recognize that it's going to be a close race, and everyone has to show up to vote. We've seen those, like Stacy pointed out, we've seen those races that are 10, 15 votes apart. And oh my gosh, if we just would have gotten, you know, a few more votes. So it really matters. And this seat, I believe it will come down to the wire because he has name recognition, but I'm a new kind of person that is fighting for Oregon. I think people are going to show up, and I think people are frustrated, and stars are going to align, and we're going to see great things happen. But nationally, they should know that this is winnable, and that's why, because we are one of eight seats that are purple. So,
and that's exactly what you need to do in the proxy thing that I was not aware of. I think that's where you hang your hat right now. You
that's
start
right.
And you talk. We'll get you on these national shows talking about that and how
that's
you're
right.
different. How can people get a hold of you? Thank you, Art, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Art.
Yes.
AmyForOregon.com is my website. Everything I have social media is Amy for Oregon. And support the fight. Support me as a candidate and get behind me, whether it's your, like you say, time, treasure, talent, volunteers. Please connect with us. I answer all my own calls. I talk to everyone.
Yes,
I want to know if you have an issue or a concern, or you read something, I want to know. I want to hear from you, and I will address it personally. And I appreciate that opportunity.
When you have your open house with your office, let
yes.
us know. We'll let people know. That's on what street?
New office on River Road in Kaiser, and we're going to be doing a grand opening. We would love to have everyone there.
Awesome.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank you for joining in this morning. So good to see you.
Oh, it's
You're listening
thank
to
you.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Have a fantastic day, my friends. Remember, over, under, around, or through, No matter what you're facing today, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a blessed day.